Hello and welcome to a new episode of the Taken by Marky Show. I am your host, Mark Keeley. I have Addy Suri, who is a Scottish actor based in Edinburgh, and we're going to be talking to Addy about his background and why he chose acting as a career. But before we get into the interview, you can now support the podcast show with a monthly donation with the link in the description to help future episodes. And also, all monthly donations will go to a charity or a giveaway of your choice. But if you want to keep involved in that, when we get enough money in the bank for that, make sure to follow me on Instagram at Taken by Marky Show. So, hi Addy, if you would like to introduce yourself, mate.
Hi there, everyone. So, Mark's done a great job of it himself. My name's Addy Suri. Addy like Adidas, Suri like Suri Cruz, except my dad isn't a crazed Scientologist. And he didn't do the Mission Impossible movies. So yeah, I am a young actor and a young amateur actor and filmmaker based here in Edinburgh. And honestly, you know, I've been having a great go of it for the past 6 years, building my career. And you know, I was doing my daily ritual. You know, I browse casting calls on Facebook, which is how I get most of my work really, and stumbled across the ad for Marky Show. And it sounded like a great time, great way to sort of promote my brand and, you know, meet a new person. Like I said, you know, as beautiful as my house is, I'm kind of spindling away from the cabin fever here. So it's great to be here with you today, Marky.
That's great to hear. How did you get into acting?
That's a great question, mate. I mean, really, so I'll sort of do away real quickly with kind of like the base kind of cliche start that a lot of people have as how they got into acting. So, you know, long story short, it was, you know, the seed was planted in childhood. You know, I'd be imitating my favorite characters on screen, you know, became a real movie buff throughout high school as well, did a couple plays, and then eventually got to that realization where I was like, hey, wouldn't it be cool if I could do this one day, but like as a job, like, in the same way like someone would be working as an accountant or a receptionist, something like that. And really how that epiphany came about was, I would say just at the big, like I would say maybe midway through of a disastrous freshman year studying French and Spanish at Edinburgh University. Nothing against Edinburgh University at all. Again, great school. I'm proud that I went there anyway. It's just like I said, I had lost interest in the subject at the wrong time. Now, the great thing was, as awful as my first year was, I'd had some great respite in, you know, again, immersing myself in films and TV shows, general pop culture trivia. And also around that time, I'd become really pally with this young filmmaker called Anton Kudryashov Jr. Still remember that man to this day. And he was running this his own independent student production company called Outer Limits Productions. Saw this, you know, he was running this stall on Bristol Square, I believe. It's where like loads of the douchey skateboarder kids are. I think they still are today. So ran up to him, little 17-year-old me. You know, nothing else but like my, you know, doing like, you know, playing, you know, at being in the first act of Importance of Being Earnest in, you know, my high school play, but you know, rattling off all the things I can do. And Anton, I guess he was taken by my enthusiasm, and I managed to get a couple bit parts in his web series, Jeff and Lisa Versus. If I had to describe it well enough, it's kind of like what Men in Black 4 was trying to be. And I mean that in a good way. It was a great show.
Yeah.
You can still find his YouTube channel up there today, Outer Limits Productions. So got a couple bit parts in that. Even had like a leading role in the pilot for a supernatural horror series. It was like a supporting role. Unfortunately, didn't go through. But long story short, Marky, I basically came to see like, I enjoy doing this stuff a lot more than actually going to class. So after a very heartfelt talk with my mum, I basically took a gap year in 2016 to, you know, really go all in there, pursue my passion of acting and filmmaking, and it has been a ride ever since.
Oh, that sounds good, mate. That's a good story to kind of start the episode off. What kind of short films and acting roles that you've played so far?
See, that is the funny thing. You ask that, Marty. I start off, you know, apart from the roles I was getting with Anton, no one else seemed to want to cast me. As frustrating as that was, I eventually came to the realization, you know, why don't I start giving myself my own work, you know, basically creating the roles that I want to play. So, you know, around that time, keep in mind this was 2016, I was able to use some of the knowledge that I'd drawn on in like short courses I was taking in screenwriting, which was actually available to me, I think at a discounted price, as I was still a student at Edinburgh University. That was where the short courses in screenwriting were taking place, along with courses in film history. And thanks to the contacts I was able to gain through Anton, I had a wonderful cast and crew, and that eventually culminated in my first short film we finished production June of 2016. I put it up, pardon me, on my YouTube channel in August of that year. So it was Modern Love, named after the David Bowie song. And I think I did that probably just before or just after he died. Pretty gutted when that happened, yeah. So it may have been great or bad timing. Modern Love, really, it was an 18-year-old kid trying to write like he knew about divorce. And the funny thing is, like, I watch it back now. Objectively, it was a bad film, but I'm still proud of it because it, like, that was at least like a foundation for me to kind of like take those first steps towards honing my craft as an artist. Eventually, you know, later on, having also then gained experience from what I learned in the BFI Film Academy, I got a little more confident. Then, second two more short films. Both of which I'm very proud of. One was called Polly. It was a short supernatural comedy about a struggling screenwriter played by a fictionalized version of myself, who is continually distracted from a screenplay he's trying to write by a talking toy parrot, which I might be able to, hold on, I'm hoping I won't kill the connection here. I actually still have the parrot from the film still to this day. So it's like right here, we just have him.
I thought it was a real parrot.
So we've brought him out of my parents' bedside cupboard after four odd years, so he's just chilling there on the patio type area. And then, yeah, the third one was Charlie, and here's a recurring theme. It was about a film graduate / struggling screenwriter who is sort of dwelling on his envy of his more successful friend Charlie from film school, who he's about to meet for lunch. And interestingly, it was loosely based off of a short story that I'd written in high school, back when I had this whole thing about me apparently becoming a novelist one day, about, you know, it was that sort of same thing, guy pursues his dream, totally feels that it is living with the consequences of it. And I guess it was just sort of like, I guess it was me sort of working through my own initial fear of why I didn't go ahead and pursue a career in acting and filmmaking straight away. It was, you know, eventually somewhere down the road, I was able to take material from that along with the work that I'd done with Anton to build up an impressive showreel, thanks to my mate Stanley Mackay back in April of 2019. Next thing I know, come 2020, it pays off and I find I'm booking stuff left, right and centre. And just recently, it's now been progressing to the point where I've actually been getting paid work here and there as well.
Well, that sounds amazing, mate. Talking about showreels, why does a showreel help you get acting roles?
I'm really glad you asked that, Marty. So a great source I'm going to draw from here. And you know, if you are currently an actor looking to get into acting, I would strongly recommend either as a physical copy or as an audiobook, like I did, because I'm lazy. I would strongly recommend The Actor's Life by Jenna Fischer. So I don't know if you might have heard of her. She played Pam in The American Office. You know, and you know, again, great book. Like, you know, because it, you know, like I said, even if you read the book and you decide that you don't want to be an actor anymore from it, like, it's still a valuable experience, because you know, Jenna Fischer, she creates such a realistic picture of what you need to kind of expect, what you need to kind of set up for yourself if you want to be really aim to be a working actor rather than a famous actor in the industry. So setting up that context, she has this great part about, you know, showreels, because, you know, the way she put it is, you know, the way Jenna Fischer put it is, you know, you are the CEO of your own acting business. So when you think of it this way, you know, your showreel is basically your commercial for the product that is you. You know, so many young actors, and I know I definitely made this mistake starting out. So many young actors get so overeager and think they will be booking agents left, right, and center. If they just flat out say, oh, I can do everything. I can do anything and everything. I can, you know, I can play like an unassuming old man, or a, you know, or the, you know, run-of-the-mill drug dealer who's going to scare the shit out of your pants. Like, I don't know if swearing's allowed on the show.
Oh, that's fine.
But no, really, I mean, the reality of it is typecasting is very much a thing in the industry. And when you settle down on what your type is, you got to exploit that, and you got to highlight that best within your showreel. Again, basically showing how the product, you, what you have to offer amongst, you know, other actors themselves. So, you know, if like me, you have a tendency to play like the socially awkward yet ultimately affable guy next door, then, you know, pick out the highlights from your past work, put that in your showreel, show how much funnier and charming you are than all the other guys who managed to play that same role. At the end of the day, it is about building a brand, and it is about standing out, and that is how important your showreel is.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. At least if you have a showreel, you stand out from different actors that put in for that acting role. Who is your favourite famous actors that you look up to?
Oh, that is a really good question, Marky. Like, for me, it is always like a new flavor of the month. Like, I'll be obsessed with a new, I mean, you know, I mean, one month it was Philip Glenister, who played you know, DCI Gene Hunt in Life on Mars. One month it was John Hamm, who you know is Don Draper from Mad Men. For me, currently, an actor I really look up to, Robert Downey Jr. He is someone who beat the odds. You know, he was your typical washed-up 1980s teen idol. And then one day, you know, like I said, you know, he got his act together. You know, I don't know, he gets acquainted with Jon Favreau, despite Marvel studio head then absolutely vehemently refusing to cast him. You know, he books Iron Man, he absolutely kills it, you know, goes from being a washed up 1980s teen idol to one of the highest paid actors in Hollywood, you know. And I mean, again, like I said, that's a remarkable you know, example of just like it's never too late to change, really. And you know, I can tell, like, he's someone who's certainly learned from like the quick like how sort of like the quick success of youth, how dangerous that can be, really. Because, you know, when you're what, like in your late teens, early 20s, and you're already at that stage where you feel like you have your life sorted, like, that it really can be quite dangerous, because it's like you're not then motivated to grow. And I think that's an experience he's certainly learned from, and I mean, that's something that I will hope to learn from if I should ever be so lucky to you know, have that kind of success. In fact, I might be jumping the gun here. A definite sort of future aim for me would be to play a superhero. I've always wanted to do a superhero movie. I wouldn't mind even getting like proper jacks for the part, and who knows, I wouldn't like, I'd love to, like, even the challenge of taking an iconic role, you know maybe, who knows, you could be talking like, I could be the Sri Lankan Wolverine if you want me to, you know, or Superman. Yeah, great.
What is your fellow dreams as an actor?
You know, at the end of the day, Marky, when it comes down to it, it's just to, like, get to the point where, you know, I will be doing acting as just, like, on, like, I will just be making my living solely from acting, in the same way as, you know, like I'd mentioned before, someone makes a living from being a receptionist, or, you know, one person will make a living from being, like, a head teacher at a school, like, oddly specific examples, but, you know, it's like, I want to one day just sort of have that thrill of, you know, being on train or bus cassette and, you know, looking at the people around me, you know, sussing out what they do. And it's like, well, me today, I get to be a firefighter. And then a couple weeks down the road, I get to be, you know, an FBI agent. And then maybe a couple months down the road, I get to be a corrupt senator. You know, I'll have that sort of, I'll basically be reliving that ultimate childhood dream of just being able to fanny about and play dress up for the rest of my life.
I quite like it, because it's like, you're playing an actor of, like, different, like, for example, a firefighter, you can learn that in one film, then go into your next film, be a head teacher at a school, for example. So you're, like, kind of learning all the kind of different jobs of what people go through on a daily basis, which is quite cool as well, for an actor to do. Mm-hmm. What has been your biggest achievement so far as an actor?
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned that, Marty. Let me take you back to 2020, which, unfortunately for all of us, isn't too far away. And boy, yeah. Oh boy, you know, we all definitely have something to say about that year. See, the funny thing is for me, Marky, despite everything I had lost back then, somehow the only thing in my life that was carrying on as normal, and if anything, was actually gradually progressing and getting better, was my acting career. I can proudly say that 2020 was my most successful year as an actor so far in almost 6 years in this industry. You know, so such highlights for me include my first leading male role in a romantic military drama, which I'm very proud to say went on to be successfully entered in the Belfast Cinemagic Young Filmmakers Festival. And, you know,
that's
nature,
amazing.
Yeah, thank you, man. And the nature of the role itself, like, dude, I never expected to get this. I literally showed up to this audition because it was something to do. This character was the polar opposite of me in every way. You know, he was this badass military vet. You know, here I am, this short, pudgy nerd with the body of someone who's played more like too much Call of Duty, served in the military, and yet, you know, somehow, you know, despite showing up 5 minutes late to the audition, not knowing any of my lines, the director liked me enough and actually looked at me and believed that I was genuinely cool and funny and sexy and confident enough to play that character. So, yes, suffice it to say, that was a much needed self-esteem boost. As well as that, I had another sort of leading male role in a radio, you know, where I gained more experience in voice acting. So this was in a radio drama about the founding of the Fastlane Peace Camp back in the early 1980s by an elderly couple called Bobby and Margaret, either Ferguson or Harrison. The writer-directors may have sort of changed the name just to add to sort of the fictionalization. Interestingly, Marky, in the radio play, they actually had them age down to, well, you know, 20-somethings, you know, myself yeah. and the actress playing my wife. I guess because, you know, they were marketing it towards a younger audience just to make it more, like, kind of relatable and more sort of engaging.
Yeah.
Going on from that, I co-directed a virtual pantomime shot and recorded over Zoom. I did that alongside the production company's founder and writer of the show, this very talented young playwright in Fife called Nikki Crawford. Nikki, hopefully I'll be able to get you to listen to the show and you can recognize this shout out I gave you. You're immensely talented and I'm proud to have you as a friend and collaborator. And going from that, from November to like around the end of the year, I actually had a fairly decent streak of paid work. So after doing this short supernatural horror film in September of that year, the month afterwards, the same director brought me back to do a paid COVID PSA / promo for his parents' restaurant. The month after that, I booked a paid gig doing a domestic abuse PSA for the Amina Muslim Women's Resource Centre. Then the month after that, I had a role as an extra in the BBC drama Guilt, which is a great show. Not just saying that entirely out of bias, because, you know, I'm going to appear in the background of a shot somewhere there when the second season I was in comes out. And most, you know, and I fast forward to now, Marky, you know, I just did a short romantic comedy about called Dolore e Amore, which was written and directed by my friend Anthony, by my friend Tony Marshall, who I met when he was working as a behind the scenes photographer on the romantic war drama I'd done last year. There we go, full circle.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, it really is. So I got paid for that. So Dolore e Amore, his film, it was about a young couple who wind up in A&E after their first time trying S&M. So certainly quite racy there. And as well as that, I'm now involved in the Talent Pathways program run by Kay Sheridan, an esteemed professional in the Scottish film industry. She's the CPD coordinator for Edinburgh Napier Film School Screen Academy. And all aside from that, I'm currently enjoying my job as a team member at Taco Bell, while I also hunt for roles in the museums and galleries industry where I was working just before COVID. So honestly, man, juggling all sorts of things. I guess I'm at that fun stage of being young, which I feel like a lot of people my age should recognize, of like, you know, I might not know exactly what I want to do with my life, but I feel like I could do absolutely everything.
Yeah, that sounds like an amazing achievement that you've always done, but you always got to start from somewhere. And also, nobody knows what they want to do as like when they're like 50 and all that. But at least you kind of have like a pathway of what you want to do.
Mm-hmm. I hate to interrupt, Mark. It was funny you mentioned that whole thing, like no one wants to know what they want to do even by their 50. Like, I guess, like, I would have to say, you know what, going back on it, age doesn't even matter, because, you know, this is going to sound so strange, but one of my biggest idols, Colonel Sanders, and, you know, this man founded KFC when he was a suicidal 65-year-old retiree,
yeah,
with $100-odd to his name and like 9 other failed businesses, you know, left behind him, one of which was a chicken shop which burned down in a fire, as well as a failed career as a lawyer and a failed run for senator. You know, great. And again, another wonderful example of just like, at the end of the day, it's just not too late. Only deadline in life is death, really, you know?
Yeah. Whereabouts have you traveled to do like different sets and stuff, to go and set?
Oh, yeah.
Different acting roles?
Oh, yeah. Honestly, Marky, the furthest I've went from what I can recall is Glasgow, really. But I mean, the thing is, See, this is the funny thing. Although a lot of the most well-known film schools are here in Edinburgh, a lot of the shooting in Scotland actually does happen in Glasgow. So that's why, like, you know, any sort of professional work, like as an extra, you know, I'll have went up and done there, really, you know, as well as, you know, the as well as the domestic abuse PSA I did for Amina MWRC as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, plus there's like the STV studios and BBC studios and all that are in Glasgow as well.
Yeah, there's the Amazon Prime studio now opening up in Leith in Edinburgh, so it's going to open up a whole wealth of opportunities too.
Yeah, hopefully you get an opportunity there at some point.
Maybe so, yeah, who knows. If there, maybe there's a third season of The Boys will be shooting here, I'll be down to play like an evil superhero or something. Maybe I could be Homelander's illegitimate Sri Lankan son, who knows.
Yeah, definitely.
Great.
Any tips and advice of people who want to get into acting?
You know what, I mean, honestly, Marky, I am honored you would ask someone like me, because like I said, even though I've had almost 6 years in this industry so far, I'm still a friggin' rookie. But for those people, like, honestly, just get stuck in. There really is nothing stopping you. Fine, you're not getting cast, make your own work, and don't get hung up about like how good it's going to be. That first short film, that first episode of the web series you're going to make, it's going to suck, and that's okay. It's supposed to suck. That's how you learn. That's how you get better. I mean, oh goodness. I mean, it's a cliche, but it's a cliche because it's true, which is a cliche within itself. But as Nike said, just do it, please. There's nothing stopping you from just getting stuck in. Do not wait for anyone to give you, you know, permission. You know, I thought I had no chance, you know, because I was, you know, as like a short, you know, gangly little geeky brown guy. You know, I thought like I could only have some modicum of success if I looked like a, you know, like mini Chris Hemsworth. But please, man, like, you know, whatever it is, do not let your race, do not let your gender identity, do not let your handicap, you know, anything that makes you think like, oh, well, I don't look like the men in Hollywood. Do not ever let that hold you back. You know, even if you're not seeing people like you up on screen, then you know what? That's even more reason for you to get up on there. You can be, because, you know, you can be a pioneer. So, yeah, just get stuck in. Go for it.
And it's like me and my podcast as well. I was kind of like, should I start doing this? But I just went for it now. I'm recording this 12th episode, I think.
Congratulations, man.
Well, thanks for you for coming on.
Yeah. Dude, honestly, thank you for having me. And like, can I just say, man, as someone who's done radio in the past, you are certainly more structured and well prepared than I've been on some of my shows before. Like, you know, me being, well, even cockier and even more arrogant than, like, you know, I honestly just thought I could sit down and just chat and like whatever could just like fall out of my head and I can keep talking. But
thanks, Addy, for coming on today and giving an insight of your acting background. If any listeners want to find out more about your work, where can they find you at?
Oh yeah, I just started an Instagram page, so you can find me at AddySuri97. In fact, I'll post it in the chat box of the chat so that like you'll be able to promote it there. That's aye, really best where to find me, and it'll be mostly like stuff related to acting. I will be honest, I've taken just a tiny break to sort of focus on sort of reorganizing my like kind of employment situation at the moment. As much fun as I have been with acting, I'm still building my brand. But yeah, you can find me there. You know, lots of questionable things might pop up on my story, along with posts on my, you know, my posts. Like, it's like a mixture of on-set photos, but also like coding projects I've done, because I'm also like dabbling in software development at the moment. Again, like I said, don't know really what I want to do, but feel like I can do everything. You know, that sort of fun stage of life. Aye.
Yeah, definitely. Well, all links will be in the description of this episode of his social media and where you can find him. But thanks for listening, and watch out for the next episode coming soon.